Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome to Harvest Worship Center. Study in the Word. This is our Sunday morning Bible study. Today's message is a continuation of our current series, an in-depth study on love, and this is part 13. Today's message is entitled Love, the Source of Real Lasting Revival.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have today to share your word together. Lord, it's so awesome to be able to come into your throne room because you have invited your church. You have invited us in to sit at your feet and to receive your word as a seed. Father, we're so thankful for your loving kindness and your tender mercy and your grace. We're so thankful, Father, for all that you've done to receive us into your presence and to open your heart to whosoever will come. Father, we come with joy this morning to receive your word. Let not one word be spoken that's not from your heart to ours. And Father, not only let the word be anointed, but let us have ears to hear, anointed ears and a receiving heart. And we thank you for this thing, Lord. We thank you for it. We give you praise for it and thanksgiving because we know we prayed your will. And because we prayed your will, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, welcome again, and we thank you so much for choosing to partake of this Bible study this morning, wherever you are, in whatever year or town or century or, or day or time that you are in as you receive this word. We live in an awesome time, don't we? We live in a time when we can record something and hear it. I know one of my favorite teachers of all time is Kenneth E. Hagin. And I've had the privilege of listening to him over the years and just to receiving. And he's passed on to be with the Lord now, but we can still receive from the abundance of anointing that God gave Brother Hagin for the church. We're so blessed for all of those that went before, some of them, like Paul, we can read and partake of their heart. But I really like listening to the heart of the person that's teaching. So we're so blessed. We're so blessed. God will continue to share his heart with us. And as I mentioned, today's title is Love, the Source of Real Lasting Revival. Note the way that I spoke that. Love is the source. And we talked about that over the past 12 messages that we've had, that love is the source for all things. So if we want real, genuine revival in our lives, you're going to have to go to the source. And the source is love.
Amen.
Love is the source. So, and we don't have to talk God into it. He's on.
Yeah.
Praise God, he's on. He is wanting to impart to his church, to raise them up to the height of Jesus in the earth today. That's what the body's supposed to be like. And, you know, I don't want just some old noise going on. I want revival.
Amen.
I want revival in Michael. I want Michael to know him and to partake of the image that's in God's heart of Michael, to become that. And there's only one place to go. I want real, lasting revival. You know, that means not only does God impart revival to me, but I have to do what's required to receive.
That's right.
And I have to maintain and guard my heart, as Proverbs says, continuously being in the Word, continuously in communion with Him, in order for that revival to be a lasting revival. Whether it lasts or not is not up to God.
Right.
He doesn't have various levels. We determine the level of revival in our life. So we're going to talk about the love, the source of real revival in our life, real lasting revival. The key to overflow is in the setting of our love upon God and in walking the love walk. That's the key. If I want overflow, revival is not just for me. Revival is to overflow.
Amen.
Jesus said rivers of living water would flow from from the person that knows him, that's given his heart to him, that's receiving him. Rivers of living water would flow. Living water, not just water, but living water would flow from our hearts. So the key to overflow, that's what's supposed to happen. We're supposed to be so full that it's continuously overflowing wherever we go.
Amen.
And you know, if that happens, it's going to affect those around us. It's going to affect where we live, how we live. It's going to affect the circumstances that come against us. It's going to affect everything in our lives. It will affect because there is overflow. And if there's overflow, there's no room for anything else.
That's right.
I'm full. So if I'm continuously being filled, then there's an overflow that's pushing everything else out. And that's the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be so in love with God, so in love and walking in love and letting his love flow in and through us that it pushes everything else out. That's why perfect love casts out fear, because it's casting it out because it can't get in. There's no room for it to come in. And that's the way we're supposed to live. When we set our love upon God, keep his commandments, and walk in his ways, we open the door for manifestation in every area of our lives.
Right.
The door to God's heart's already open. It's never closed. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. We don't have to talk God into opening his heart to us. We have to position ourselves to enter.
That's right.
A door that's already open. And just as the overflow flows from us, that love flows from us outward, pushing other things out, the love of God does the same thing. It pushes evil out. It pushes carnally minded out. But we can come in if we decide to do so. Our choice is involved in that. So that's so important for us to realize that when we set, not God. See, when we're asking for revival, we're expecting God to do something. I've heard it all my Christian life. Prayer is a source of revival. It's not. Prayer positions me for a revival that's already there.
That's right.
Prayer positions me for love to flow in that revival can come. But it is not the source. It is something that I do to position myself. There's a big difference between the two. Prayer is not the source. Praise is not the source of the secret place. Love is. Love is a secret place, not praise. Praise is an outflow when you're in the secret place.
Right.
You know, when I'm walking in love, I'm going to have praise in my heart. So, love is the place. Praise is a result. You know, and we just need to remember that. Prayer is a result of a communion and a relationship, but it all flows back to the source. No matter what it is, the source is love.
Amen.
So I open the door to manifestations of God when I position myself for those manifestations to take place. When we set our love upon God, keep his commandments, which is love, and walk in his ways, which is love, we open the door for manifestation in every area of our life. When we do not set our love upon God and keep his commandments, we open the door for the enemy to work in our life. What are we? What's the difference between the two?
Carnal.
Exactly. One, we're spiritually minded. You cannot be spiritually minded and not walk in love. It's impossible. That's what spiritually minded is. You walk in love, you're spiritually minded. That's the only way to get there. But if you're not spiritually minded, then you're carnally minded. Romans 8, chapter 8 is very clear on what, and there's a lot of other chapters and a lot of other places in the Bible that talks about it, but to be carnally minded or worldly, fleshly, self-centered minded, that's death. So I cannot dwell in the secret place there. I cannot walk in revival there. So if I'm wanting to walk in revival in my life, and I keep using the word revival, and most of us need reviving, but once we get revived, let's take the re off of there and just stay vived. You know, early on, I was teaching something many years ago when we had our church, and that word re kept jumping up at me. Re means to put back or to do it again. Return. Well, you can't come back from where you haven't been. So if I'm going to return, I have to go first. So if I want revival, I'm going to have been vived at some time or brought to life. That's what vive means. It means life. So if I'm going to be revived, it means I have life. If or, then I'm dead. Now, am I revived when I get born again? Yes. I'm born again. I've been brought from death into life, darkness into light. I've been revived. Life has come back, but it's not the same old life. I'm a new creature all together. So have I been revived? Well, in one sense, life's come back. But in another sense, no. The old man died, and I'm a new man. I'm a new creation, one that didn't exist before. So my spirit is brand new. But now I need to maintain that. So there are times when I need to recharge. When I let my carnal nature still, it's still there. When I let my carnal nature hinder my walk, then in those cases I need to recharge or refresh. I like that word better than to revive, because revive means I've lost something completely. It's not there no more. Refresh means I'm getting a new breath. I'm getting a new surge in my life. And that normally will take me to a new level. So I know I'm nitpicking to some people, but really we're not. Words mean something.
Amen.
And if we use the wrong words or have a wrong understanding about things, then we misinterpret what's really being said and what God's real intention is, and even what we're doing. You know, so if I'm going to be revived, I want to stay vived. So if there's that constant flow of love into me and out of me, I don't have to be revived. Why? Because it's constant flow. It's constant new life. It's river. It's flowing. But if I hinder that by going to my carnal nature most of the time and allowing my emotions to govern me or my feelings, then that hinders the flow. Mm-hmm. In that case, I need to be refreshed or revived in some cases. So revival is nice. But I like to use the word crusade or the word refreshing, something like that. It's just a personal thing with me. You can do what you want to with it. But I want to stay vived once I'm revived. Now, there's some areas I need to be refreshed in my life. You get busy, you get unbusy, and you don't do anything. You know, the trouble of being retired, sometimes you don't have nobody saying, be here at this time, do this at this time, this is your next project. There's nothing there really pushing you on because you got responsibilities. Well, I have a lot of responsibilities, even though I'm retired, but they're all can be done when I want to do them. So if you don't watch yourself, you wind up walking backwards to the place where you need to be revived again. So there's some things I need to refresh myself on simply because I don't have a set schedule with everything, even though I do to some degree. And I'm busier now than I was when I was actually working as an adjuster. But you tend to not do it. And that's the difference between the two. So anyways, if I'm going to stay refreshed and stay revived and stay vibed in my life, I need a constant flow in. I need to position myself so the flow will flow in and flow out. The only way I can do that is to govern my life by the love walk.
Amen.
I have to stay in communion with love himself so he can flow in, and I got to stay in communion with those around me so it can flow out. Amen. Otherwise, it becomes stagnant. I lose the pressure behind that. I lose the drive. So, and we do not want the enemy to function in our life. We don't want a doorway open. Say, well, I love God. I just don't have time for all that. Well, then you're going to open a door. And if you keep the door shut, you'll be amazed at how many things that you don't go through simply because you stayed in your relationship with God. It's keep the flow in and through you to others is pushing those hindrances out. It's pushing the carnal out because you're taking time for it to flow in. Say, well, I just don't have that time. You can do it and be busy with something else at the same time. That's one awesome thing about tongues. You know, you can just pray and it'll affect your mind. You can keep going. Praise is that way. You can keep a praise going in your heart or a song in your heart and still keep busy with what you're doing. As a matter of fact, you'll find that you can do what you're doing better. You'll have a clearer mind. You'll have a confidence that you didn't have before. The things around you will be different because you're pushing it out. The love flow from you is pushing the hindrances out. It's just like this big shield. It just bounces off when you walk through. Our job is to maintain that. And that means relationship.
Amen.
But if we don't maintain it, then the shield disappears and we've opened the door and now he can function and hinder us in our life. The enemy can. And we don't want that. We want to be so full of God that there's no room for anything else. Okay, we will never walk in revival without walking in love. It's just that simple. Our faith will not work without love. It won't work. It just simply will not work. If we're not walking in love, we'll be walking in doubt, fear, worry, emotions. That's where our thinking will be. We'll be concentrating on what's going on around us in the negative instead of what God is doing through love about that. We won't be walking in the high place we're supposed to be walking. We won't see it through His eyes. We won't be able to be guided through that mess by the Holy Spirit, even though He's trying to. We won't hear Him because we're walking in our carnal nature. We're allowing our emotions to govern our response. And once we do that, the enemy can function there. And we don't want that. Now, we're all going to do that to some degree. I'm talking about getting to the place where that don't happen, but that's an everyday now moment choice that we make. I can walk in that place, but only in my now. If I try to think I'm going to do this permanently the whole entire life, and that's what I focus on, well, it's a good thing to have that as a goal and to govern yourself that way, but you're not in that. You're in this now moment. And this now moment is where the blessing is, where the presence is, where the love is flowing, where it's flowing out of me. It's doing that in the now moment. And if I don't concentrate on them right now, then it'll hinder my next moment. I've got to be constantly aware of my now moment. And that's the only place I can really ever walk in love. If I can walk in love in my now, I can do it in my next moment as well. So instead of being so aware of the whole picture, be aware of the whole picture as a hope, because it's future tense. But be aware of the now, because it is now. And it affects that. So we will never walk in revival without walking in love. Our faith will not work without love. Our prayers will not work without faith. And faith will not work without love. No matter how much I pray, no matter how much time I spend in prayer, it will not work without love. Because prayer will not be successful without love. That's its fuel source. So, and for those that say prayer is a source of revival, there is your answer. If you're not walking in love, you can pray all you want to. I'm sorry, it's just not going to be effective. You'll get some results, but you'll constantly be hindered by your carnal nature. You'll constantly be hindered by your emotions and feelings, and that's what the enemy will use to move you away. You let your emotions pull you away. Because we're simply, in and of ourselves, we're simply not strong enough.
That's right.
If that's all we have. But if you're born again, genuinely, you have so much more than that. You may not be aware of it, but the power and glory of God lives within us.
Yes.
The presence and the essence and the fullness of God Himself lives inside of our spirit. So the Holy Spirit. If you're born again, he's there. But we're not using that. We're not tapped into it. So that's where we got to get to that place. Our prayers will not work without faith, and faith will not work without love. Without our walking in love, we will not be able to be spiritually minded. If we are not spiritually minded, which is walking in love, we will not be able to properly hear the voice of the Holy Spirit as he guides us. You see how it's all connected? Part of being a walking in lasting revival is to be able to hear the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. as he guides and refreshes and brings life to us and brings a revelation of the Word. Part of it is to be able to hear him. And if I'm governed by my emotions, my carnal nature, I can't hear him. Even though he's speaking just like he always does, he's still doing everything he always will do, but he will not move against my free will. I am choosing to allow my emotions and the things around me to govern my response. There's no faith in that. And because there's no love in it, because of that, his rule's not there. So it hinders. You see what I'm talking about? That is my choice, not God's. The enemy has no choice but to bow and back off when I walk in love. To the degree that I walk in love, that's the degree that he's able to function. It puts a hedge there. He cannot get through it. But see, I have to put the effort out. I've got to position myself, stay in the Word, stay connected with my Father, and govern those things. That's my job to govern them, not God's. He gave me the tools. He gave me the ability and the authority. He gave me everything I needed by that cross. And he placed his own self inside me, so the power is in me to do it. I actually take those tools and implement them. If I'm waiting for God to bind the devil, I'm going to wait all a long time. That's my job.
Yeah.
I take what he's done and I declare, thus says the Lord, just as Jesus said, or it is written. And I don't see Jesus hollering at him. Where it is written, you jerk! No. I just see him sitting there, or it is written. He can't do anything with that. It is written. It is written. And that's the way we have to be. We have to take the love and the mercy and the grace of God revealed in his word by the Spirit and say, for it is written. If I don't know that it's written, I can't say that. So see how it's up to us. We want it to be up to God. God, take this thing off of me. No. You take care of that. I've given you the tools. There's nothing left for me to do other than to enforce what you do. See, that's what God does now. Since that cross, he's been enforcing what we do. If we don't do something, there's nothing for him to enforce. If we don't walk in love, the power's not there. So this is absolutely vital. It is nothing that's more important than our love walk. Nothing. And I hate to say this way, and people will take offense maybe, but even your family. Because you cannot properly love your family without loving God first.
Amen.
And when you love him first, then he flows through you to them. Without loving him first, then you're putting yourself out there and you're doing it in your own strength and you're going to fail. But if you walk in love, loving your family through his love, you cannot fail because love never fails. They may depart from it, they may not want it, but that love will never depart them. They cannot run far enough because God's love chases them. He will not let them go because our love is set upon Him. That's the only way you can truly put your family first, is to put God first. There is no other way to do it. Okay, so we've settled that. We will not be able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit without walking in love. We can't do it. And that's a choice that I do. The neat thing about it is, it's not something that I actually do. I set myself and position myself, and He does it through me.
Amen.
He gives me the power. I make the choice. And I maintain the choice. I make the decisions that He gives me to make. How can we can't mess up with that. If I'm walking in love, He even tells me what decisions to make. I still got to make them.
Uh-huh.
Because the enemy's trying to talk me out of it. But if I continue to make my choices based on the Word and based on love, being others-centered, as I do that, then He keeps giving me the right decisions to make. I'll hear Him, I'll know they're right or wrong, and I'll walk in that because He's busy doing that. But if I'm not walking in love, I can't hear Him. So, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. Now this is the Amplified Classic. For if we are in Christ Jesus, that's the condition. If we are in Christ Jesus, or born again, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. Why did He put it that way? Who's He talking to? He's talking to people that are covenant-minded. And circumcision was the sign of the covenant. If you're not circumcised, you're uncircumcised. You're God's people or not God's people. And He's talking about basing the law on the law. Law don't matter here. He's talking about people that understood covenant, they understood the law. So He's saying neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. It used to, but the cross took place. It doesn't matter now. That's not what's important. Don't focus on the law. Focus on the cross. But, there's that word, the opposite thought. But only faith. Activated and energized and expressed and working through love. So notice, circumcision or uncircumcision, the law and all of that doesn't count for anything anymore. Faith is what matters. Faith is the one thing that overrides the law or love, because it works by love. Faith, but then it says it's activated. So faith is activated. It has to be activated. Faith is energized. Energized means it's receiving its power from. And it's expressed, or this is how it's brought forth or seen, or brought into manifestation. And it's working. It's activated, energized, expressed, and working through love. If those ingredients are not there, faith don't work.
What verse?
Galatians chapter 5, verse 6.
Oh, 5.
Amplified. Some say just faith works by love.
Verse 6.
And that's what it's saying, the same thing. Except the Amplified is telling you what those works mean. How it works. It's a much better translation for that. Because if it works by, then that means it's activated, energized, expressed, and working by love or through love. So if you want your faith to work, you're going to have to walk the love walk. You're going to have to set your love upon the Father, and you're going to have to correct yourself as you go. Being repentant of when you know you're not walking in love. Be aware of those things that are not related to walking in love. When you do them, and the Holy Spirit points it out, if you make a decision to walk in love and mean business with God, God will show you where you're not.
Amen.
And it's not to condemn you. It's to give you the opportunity to change that. To repent, to fix it. So it doesn't become a hindrance to you. No matter what area of life you're walking in that's not love-based, you can fix that. There's no one that's in a position that they cannot fix it. They can't do it. God can do it as you position yourself for Him to do it through you. You make the decision.
Amen.
And that's the big difference. I want to read that again, because this is so important for us to realize. Because faith is the center of everything we do. And faith works by love. Love's not there, faith don't work. Galatians 5:6 again. For if we are in Christ, so he's talking to the born again person, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision count for anything. Why? Because we're born again. We're in Christ Jesus. Now, if you're not born again, then those things matter. But if you're born again, they don't count for anything to you, because you're not under the law. You're under grace. But if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith. So everything you do once you're born again is based in faith. That's why Hebrews says it's impossible to please God without faith. Because you can't connect to Him. But only faith, activated, energized, and expressed and working through love. Real revival. And that's what we want, isn't it? Real revival. Real revival is more than outward signs. Real revival takes place in the heart of the individual, then leads to corporate revival one heart at a time. You will never have genuine revival without an individual relationship. You can have God moving by waves in a place, and you're going to go there, and you get all excited, but you're not walking in love. You're there for the excitement. So you'll get energized, you'll like it, you'll be happy, because the Holy Spirit's time to draw you in. But you're riding on other people. You're not riding on your own relationship. So you'll leave that place and you go home and everything's dead. I wish I could live there. That's what Peter and John wanted to do when they were up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Let us build booths here. They didn't want to leave this place. Well, it's okay if we want to live in revival, but we're going back to a nasty world. We're going to leave that place. And we didn't have to go there to begin with to get revival. We didn't have to go to that meeting. The best place to get revival is in your own room, in your own place, with your relationship with God. That's something that will last. Then when you go to that place as He leads you, don't go unless He doesn't lead you. Don't go just for the signs and all that other stuff and the crawling on the walls and the hot music. Don't go for that purpose. That's not the reason to go. The reason to go is because your heart's so full and you want to join your heart to someone else's full. That will last. That will bring others in. The real, genuine moves of God that you see did not come from prayer. That was a tool that was used to bring it about. But somewhere along the line, there were some people that decided they were going to walk in love. They're going to love God. They're going to set their hearts on Him. They're going to call on His presence in their life. And they're going to change the things around them to walk in love. When they did that, God started moving hearts together, joining hearts. Now you got a corporate thing. Now you got something that's moving. Others join because they can see the love of God. It's more than music and hollering and even lots of people. It's so much more than that. Real revival only takes place in the heart of the individual. There's only one person that can get revived in my life, and that's Michael. I can't ride on anybody else. It's sure nice when I can hook up with somebody that's there, and if they are really there, they can draw me up, help me get up there. That's what's supposed to be happening. But real revival is more than outward signs. It has to be in the heart before the outward signs are there. I can ride on somebody else's signs for a little while, but it's going to fail. It's going to fail. When I leave, it's going to fail. Because I didn't do anything. I wanted it to come from the outside. How many people run to these big meetings, and there's nothing wrong with them, but how many people run to these big meetings and don't do anything where they're concerned? They're wanting it from the outside in. Revival never comes from the outside. It always comes from the inside. That's where the Holy Spirit is. That's the reviver. And it can only come that way. And again, you can pray till your knees and feet and you actually faint from exhaustion and not get revived. Because why? Your prayers work by love. And if you're not setting your love upon Him and flowing through you to others, you can't be revived that way. Because it doesn't come from prayer. Prayer is an outflow of the love that you have in your heart. Then the revival comes. I hope I'm making sense to somebody. Okay, real revival is more than outward signs. Real revival takes place in the heart of the individual, then leads to corporate revival one heart at a time. Religion is only a demonstration without the authentic love of God. Now, there's more than one type of Christianity. And I'm not talking about denominations. There's the Christian religion. And I'm not down on anybody. Please don't think I am, because I'm not. I'm just telling you what the Word says. Real Christianity, genuine, is that person who has set his love upon the Father, receiving His love and letting that love flow through him. He's born again. Now, you can be born again and not do that. You can genuinely get born again and never set your real love upon the Father, never genuinely make Jesus Lord of your life, but you're born again. In that case, you're going to have a hard time. But if you did get born again and you get into the Word, you can start moving that way. And the moment you do, the moment you decide, I'm going with God. I'm born again. He saved me by His blood. I'm going all the way with God. And the moment you do that, God floods in there. And He starts leading and guiding you and setting things up around you. But if you go back to where you were and never change anything, He's not Lord of your life, even though you got born again. You meant business with Him. But He can't help you much because you're not making choices for Him. You're not receiving the Word. You're not feeding your spirit. You're not living His way. So you're hindered. So there's a Christian religion that is basically a group of people that come together. There's no power there. They don't believe in anything. They don't believe in signs and wonders anymore because they passed away. They don't believe in healing, and they don't believe in all of this other stuff. But yet they gather and they read the Bible and they talk about it. Well, there's some good in that. But it's not what God wants. It's not really what you want if you know the truth. And you can be born again and be doing that and never get any further. Or you can be born again and set your love upon Him and be that real Christian. The one that no matter what, he's going with God. He has set his love upon the Father. They are one. There's a big difference in the two. There's the Christian religion, and then there's real Christianity. You have to decide what you're doing and where you're going. You have to decide that. How far do I want to go with God? Do I want a real, genuine, personal relationship with my loving Father? He has set his love upon me. Now, the least I can do is set my love upon Him.
Amen.
And when you do that, you enter in the secret place of His heart. then the blessings flow, and you will experience what it is to be like a real Christian, like Stephen was, like Paul was, like the apostles were. They're real. They are real. Glory to God. I'm about out of time, so I can't get to where I wanted to go, but I think I'm speaking what the Lord wants today. Religion is only a demonstration without the authentic love of God. Real Christianity is more than religion. It is real life. You must be born again to be a real, genuine Christian. When the world sees the church, it's supposed to see love in action. If I don't have love flowing into me, how can it flow out of me? It can't. I mean, I can have a superficial love, and some of these Christian religions, they do good things. They feed the poor, they go to all these things, but they deny the power and the love of God. They see it from the bottom up instead of the top down, and there's a big difference. There's a big difference. If you are going to church and you are in a Christian church, get into your Bible. Find out who you really are in Christ. Start talking to the Holy Spirit. Talk to God. Talk to Jesus. Position yourself for Him to reveal Himself to you. He will. He wants to. He wants to pour Himself out upon you. The essence of the fullness of His love, He wants to pour out on you. But He can't do it if you don't seek that, if you don't position yourself for it. Go beyond what you've been taught. Get in deeper. Get in deeper. Get in deeper with the Lord. Just spend time with Him and let Him love you the way He wants to so much. Let what that cross actually purchased be poured out in and through you to others. And then it won't matter. They can kill you and it won't faze you. It won't faze you because the love of God is full in your heart.
Amen.
And, well, I've got to close right now, and we'll pick up there next week. Father, we thank You for this word that we received because, Lord, we want it real in our lives. But I can't, as always, I can't speak to for anybody but myself. And there's so many areas in my own life that I need to go deeper. And I want to, Lord. I want to. And in this now moment, I make the decision to do that, and I place my future in Your hands. Our times are in Your hands, Lord. And as David of old said in Psalm 25, verse 1, Amplified Classic Version, unto You, O Lord, do I bring my life. And that life, Lord, I'm bringing to You is my hurts, my fears, my worries, my joys, my triumphs, my failures, my past, my present, and my future. My hurts and the times of great triumph. I bring my life to You, Lord. Every moment of it, every second, every tick, every part and parcel of my life I bring to You, Father. And I ask You to do something with it. I position myself, Lord, for You to flow through me, in me, and to others, Lord. And I give You praise for it, Father. And thank You for revealing to me when I'm not doing that. And for strengthening me to walk this moment in praise and glory to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.